And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good.
I'm Dan.
I'm Shoshana, or Shush, and today we have...
Derek McClure.
Yay!
Yeah, Derek!
Good morning,
woo-hoo!
Or good afternoon, or good night, depends on where you are.
Yeah, it depends on when you're listening to this, I guess.
That's right.
Derek, you are the creative director slash worship coordinator slash worship pastor for Hope Central Church in South Australia, aren't you?
That's correct, yeah.
Well, welcome.
Thank you very much.
I just thought that's kind of your introduction. That's your title, right?
Like, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what I do. I look after and coach the campus pastors. We have three campuses, four congregations. One's a special needs campus congregation. And, I oversee the music, really invest into the musicians and the people in charge to bring a culture of who and why we do stuff, that kind of thing.
Amazing.
Love it.
I love
that's
that.
So cool.
We're going to go into that a bit more
yeah.
in a bit. But
yeah. Before we do.
Yeah, you go Shush.
Here we go. So we've got to start off. We've got five questions for you. Fast five. Just give us your first answer that comes to mind straight away.
All right.
So I'm going to jump off. What's your favorite emoji?
The one crying from laughter.
Good one. Nice. Good one.
Nice.
Movies or books?
Books.
What's your coffee order?
Oh, goodness. An espresso with a latte chaser. That's actually how I order it. So they give me the espresso, and as soon as they see me finish it, they bring out the latte.
That's nice.
Fancy.
Yeah, yeah.
This isn't part of the Fast Five, but do you have a spot that you go to that they know that?
Yeah. So there's a couple of places in town. There's Lowry and Ladd, and there's also the Coffee Exchange. And Coffee Baron as well, but generally I do V60s or something at the Baron.
Oh, look out.
Ooh.
All right, so another Fast Five question that isn't the fastest five that we've ever had, but we'll get there. Picture this, driving home, late night prayer meeting, late night meeting of some sort.
Yeah.
Macca's or KFC on the way home?
No. Neither. Drive past them. Yeah, I would not stop.
Straight past.
I don't eat past 8 o'clock.
So wow.
As soon as it's 8 p.m., I don't have anything to eat at all, just water.
Wow. Oh,
I respect
controversial.
That.
Controversial.
Yeah. Sorry. I respect it.
If you could only do one art form for the rest of your life, what would you do?
That changes too much. So at the moment I'm doing drawing, but I work with photos and I do music as well. So
you got to pick one, Derek.
At the moment, I'm into drawing, so I'll be doing the drawing.
Great.
Drawing.
Yeah.
Drawing.
I respect that. Nice. Well done. Fast five over.
You made
Thank
it.
You. Boom.
Thank
made
you.
It. You made it through.
The pressure's off.
Hey, let's go back in some respect. Can you give us a bit of an origin story of yourself, a quick origin story?
Yeah.
Of, I guess, why you're where you are now. Like you mentioned your role.
Yeah.
This is kind of like a twofer, right? So how did you get to that position, I guess?
Yeah.
Maybe a bit of a musical background because it seems like music played an important role in that. But also why are you sitting with people from the Salvation Army as well? Can you give us like a roundup of that in like 5 minutes, do you think?
All right, real quick. I started studying art, so I've got a visual art degree, and while I was doing that, I thought it'd be a really cool idea to do music straight afterwards and then drama as well. Drama was actually my main subject. It was actually my passion. But I fell into art because it was easy. And then while I was at uni, I met my wife-to-be. We got married the day after I finished uni. And so I thought, okay, cool, bang, I'll do some art teaching. So I did that for a little bit and then went into do music. So I did my music degree, jazz performance. From there, I just rolled into, you know, playing, touring, performing, recording, all sorts of stuff for a living. And then bounced really in between, teaching art and playing music and doing that sort of thing. But apart part of that was also then getting a job as a music director at a church. And from there, things went to where the role is that I'm doing now. So basically doing art, doing music. When my kids were born, I started doing photography just because I wanted to take photos of them. And then someone asked me to do a wedding. Someone asked me to do photo shoots for like companies, like graphic design companies. So I started doing the Leukemia Foundation promos and a whole bunch of other kind of things like creams and ice creams. So from there, it just rolled into the church that I was going to, needed a music director, then it grew, a worship pastor. And I guess I sort of move in between a whole bunch of things. So it's music, I do art, I now do wedding photography and corporate stuff as a part of my work. It's kind of like raining down a whole bunch of different things. How did I get involved in the salvos? When I was at youth group, a friend of mine was going to school with another friend who was a salvo called Rowan Castle. Through Rowan Castle, is this 5 minutes?
No, keep going.
Through Rowan Castle.
You're going.
He needed a bass player for a friend of his who was graduating from TAFE, and so I then got involved in playing bass for that. And then I asked Rowan if he could help me get into understand what jazz was about, because I was just about to audition and I didn't know anything about jazz. So he showed me some blues. I got in to, I qualified and got into uni and then did my 4 years, finished with honours. And ever since I've been playing conferences and doing camps and all sorts of stuff for the salvos, even though I'm not a salvo. But,
We're glad you're here.
Yeah. I got some excellent friends, great friends in the salvos.
So cool.
Okay, I don't know. There's a lot of that I didn't know about, for one. And I would class myself as one of your friends.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
I think it's pretty amazing that it's not just, like, I think we touched on in the Fast Five, like, in you picking an art form to use for the rest of your life is a hard decision for you because you're talented at many arts. That's, like, that's pretty rare, I would say.
Well, no, I always think of it as there's some people who really focus their attention on an expression, a particular expression or art medium, and they really hone that to a career, to a lifelong expression, developing their skill. Their focus is continual. I kind of see it as a sponge. You know, you're creative, but whenever the pressure or the squeeze comes onto you, you just can't help but express through whatever you've got at the moment.
Mm.
So if I'm wrapping my hand around an instrument, then that's the expression. That's where I'll play and do music. Or if it's in front of a sketchbook, then I'll draw. If it's doing animation, if it's drawing or teaching, or if it's doing photography, it doesn't matter what it is. It has to come out somehow. And I just have a number of tools that I've surrounded myself with where it comes out at, you know.
That's very cool. I love that. It's also, I think, sometimes connected with seasons of life. Like some seasons is like this art form, and then you go into a new season, gain a new skill, you know, around different people.
Yeah, that's right.
And another art form comes out.
Can I ask something to do with origin story as well?
Yep.
That I think gives you a little bit of, I guess, recognition in the Salvation Army territory, right? So, Terrier.
Oh,
what did you, for our listeners out there, what was your input to Soteria and what Soteria have done in the past?
I think I played bass on some of those. This is kind of embarrassing because that was during a really intense time of playing music for a living. At the time I was in, I think, 11 regular bands. And then I was doing sessions and zipping in and out of the state doing other things. I was also, what else was I doing? I was doing just so much that it actually is a very small memory. It wasn't until, I think it was one of you guys that played it back to me. And it was like, was that me playing that? There was seriously, I have so little memory of so many things that I've done that every now and then a recording pops up and I've got my name on it that I didn't realise.
Is that the way to the crown of just being talented at many a thing?
I don't know. Well, Rowan does have a saying. He says that I walk behind backwards into other people's dreams. I just find myself doing stuff. Oh my goodness, I'm just getting emotional because the coffee's arrived.
Your coffee's finally here.
We thought the coffee was here, but it wasn't, and now it's here. We had a false alarm coffee. We actually have it now.
Mmm.
Oh man. Well, now you've got your coffee, you're awake, you're ready.
Yeah, let's start.
Shall we jump into the deep end?
Yeah, should we yeah, let's jump into this deep end because
jump into the deep end.
I think when me and Shush were talking about this podcast and people to get, immediately for me, like you came up in my mind because I remember sitting with you at a coffee shop once, just effectively just talking all things worship. Now, from what I remember, you had a really, really good take on worship, and it spoke to me in that moment, and I was kind of recalling this to Shush in some respect, just saying, hey, we should get Derek because he's got a take on worship that I guess I hadn't heard or put in place before, I guess. I kind of want you to just delve into that because I guess one of the big reasons for this podcast is to cast vision, is to inspire as well. So I actually think that this is somewhat, I just kind of want to give you the floor for 10 minutes just to go for it because I think you have something to bring to people that are listening. I think you have something to bring to, I guess, generations of people who are growing up in a worship space, trying to define what that is. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah,
good. Do you kind of want to dive in and just...
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think you've got something good to say in that space, so...
It actually started when I got my first worship director role, and I was looking at the problem of just being a musician, going to church and playing. It was, you know, straight off the back end of doing the degree, and I was just, knee-deep in doing a lot of music stuff. And I didn't want to have this concept that while I'm in church, I'm just doing another gig. Yeah, I didn't want to have that disassociation with the music or worse still, treat it like I was in and out without any connection for why I'm there. And being in charge, I knew that if I was overseeing this and I was going to lead the other musicians and singers to a place of understanding and lifestyle, I needed to have that concept of why I'm there as well. So I prayed about it, really sought God, and I had a picture, kind of like a vision. And it's, if you can kind of, imagine this, a door frame in the middle of a grassed field, you know, like the old Windows screen that they used to have? Yeah, yeah, it was just that kind of real green. Yeah. Just imagine a door frame just sitting in the middle of nowhere. And I pictured all of us, our church and the congregation, the musicians, all lining up to enter through the door to get into the field. But the concept was that they were already in the field. Do you know what I mean? And I had this picture that the doorway is the construct that we put in place for worship. In order to enter into the field, which is worship, that people feel they have to construct something to knock on the door and walk through it without actually understanding that they were already in it. That our life, our awareness of God is continual. We are placed, in His presence, and that we are always surrounded by Him. Particularly, if you're a Christian, right, that you're in His presence. And so, I didn't want to construct something where people enter into worship. I wanted to bring an awareness that you are a worshiper, and that your environment isn't based, or your understanding of worship isn't based on a construction that we create, whether it's music or something else. And so I thought, okay, well, how can I practically put this into some kind of way of explaining or way of living or some sort of mode of thought? And I came up with an order of relationships that if we can prioritize three relationships in a specific order, and then I can hinge on that some very practical how-tos, then I could then realign people's thoughts to being a worshiper rather than being a musician. And that is, first of all, understanding that the first and primary relationship that we have is with God, our Creator. And so if I could orient everyone's understanding that we're doing this regardless of whether our hands are on an instrument or not, that our relationship, the primary relationship, is with God first. Now, that's scriptural, right? It's not some sort of surprise. It's not like, oh my goodness, that's revolutionary. Never thought of that.
Yeah, hot take.
What?
But I realized through the three relationships that there is a specific order and that they happen with everyone, but sometimes they jumble it up. So creator first. The second relationship is community, the people that we're surrounded by. If you have the understanding that God is your primary relationship, then the outworking of that relationship is with others. And so you then interact, and how you express your relationship, your love for God, is then how, of course, you love others. And the final one is craft. That is the things that we use, what we put our hand to, what we think about, they are the expression of our love for God, and also the tools that we use to serve and love each other. So music, in this case, for being a music team, was the way that we express our love for God and the way we serve each other. And so creator, community, craft were the three ordered relationships that I started talking about into my teams. If you get them mixed up, you get all of the different kind of problems that you find in church or not even in church, just the general heartbeat of people living their lives. That is, if I was to put community first, community, craft, creator, for example, as soon as you put community first, you're putting other people first. You're a man pleaser. That is, you're seeking the approval of others, or you're rating yourself against others as well. You're always feeling you're condemned or you're judging. And as a result, then you start putting your own, your own agenda in place, and you start working towards that. If it's community craft, you then judge people by what they do, you judge yourself in comparison by what you cannot do. If you're community first and then creator, you're playing law. So well, then what you're doing is you're saying, I need you to be pleased, or I need to please you, and God is my second relationship. You start thinking about what should be and what shouldn't be, and so on. And it just starts becoming a jumbled mess. If you do craft first, you're idolatry. You're worshipping the element, the expression, the mode. And it gets horribly mixed up. And I found out when I was doing music for a living that craft was the important thing. I got my work based on my ability. So I was busy, which was, you know, very thankful for. But the second thing that was measured was my community. People wanted to play with me if I didn't treat them like a jerk, you know. So be a good musician, treat people nicely. And the third thing, I found that people didn't worry about what you believed in. I was a safe Christian. You know, I could be in an environment where I had agnostics or people who would cut down the church or have bad experiences. But if I played well, didn't treat them like a jerk, I could be a Christian and talk about God acceptably because I was already approved.
Mm.
But in a church setting, that doesn't cut it. That's where we start getting people wanting to fight for their agenda or feeling paranoid or judging or being law-oriented. As soon as you put creator first, you're setting the agenda from a God perspective. Then the way you treat others will always be in light of your relationship with God. Mm. And your craft is an expression and also a service tool to love others. It's Matthew, was it 23? Matthew 28. Matthew, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as yourself. I took it further. The idea of letting people in, and this was how I ordered my life. So even playing professionally, it was creator first, community, craft. And I found that my relationships with others got better, my ability increased. As long as I put God first, everything else, you know, got better. Yeah. But the culture is what I've been working on more lately. So again, trying to vocalize and then encourage others to what does it look like on a deeper level. I gave out small cards to our team. I wish I had one here. I didn't bring one. Did I ever give you guys one? No.
I don't think so.
On the front side, it actually breaks down creative community craft into three elements. Number one, that our heart is our primary instrument. So as long as, you know, you could be a bass player, which is, of course, the what everyone attains to. But
that's the top tier.
Oh, absolutely. Top. And then looking way down.
Playing one note way at a time is really hard, Derek.
That's right. And then, I was going to say timbre. Then flute could be down there as well. But anyway, then what you've got, if your heart is the primary instrument, then you're working on your creator, your God relationship always. It's what is flowing from within you that is the real meat and core. Do you know what I mean? You're a worshiper first. And that's when you're ironing, when you're driving, when you're playing music or whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. It's the heart, the attitude of why. So training your heart, reading the Bible, praying, fasting, spiritual disciplines is the way that you tune your heart as your instrument. And it's all for God. It's all to glorify Him, to make Him bigger, magnify Him, make Him bigger in the eyes of others. The second thing is that I started abolishing the word team and replaced it with tribe. A team is a rostered member. That is, they have a part-time mentality. I'm on the team today, but I'm not rostered tomorrow. And therefore, their contribution isn't necessary, or they don't feel they need to contribute if they're not on a time frame. But a tribe is people who are working together to be what is necessary and needed for the community at all times. So a tribe is, you can have someone who is constantly in your community environment and they see someone in need, they become the prayer warrior, or they become the encourager, or they become someone that is necessary at that time. And it's not when they're rostered on, it's always. So a tribe is a necessary component that keeps the culture flowing. You know, it's a full-time thing. You will do anything for the people that are in your tribe, but you'll do anything within reason for the people on your team while you're there. So tribe first. And the last thing, craft.
I love that, by the
is,
way.
Tribe is growth. It's not about excellence or skill. So craft is, okay, we want people to be excellent musicians, but who qualifies that? And what does it look like? You know, if I was to say to my music team, this is what excellent to me looks like, and I'm basing it from my experience of doing a four-year music degree, having played all over the place, you know, the newest team member is going to be crushed thinking that they're not qualified, and they're going to value themselves based on my expectation. But if I can tweak that and not say, no, excellence isn't our goal, growth is our goal. If you're taking a step towards learning and to increase your knowledge and increase your ability, that's what I'm encouraging. That's what I want to see happen. I was talking to one of the campus pastors yesterday and I said, look, if you want a guitarist in your team, choose someone who has a good heart, who loves people, and then teach them three chords on the guitar. And then say, great, next week we want you to play. And I said, look, encourage them just to play the three chords he knows or she knows and miss out on all the other ones. We'll get there eventually, but at least just play those ones. If you have a good heart, you're going to lead people to an awareness of God. If you have good tribal understanding, you're going to love others, and that's going to flow through whatever you do. The craft, honestly, you can teach any monkey how to play a guitar. They have to be
settled down.
You can, to me, it's a skill. It's a learned skill. Some people accelerate that quickly, and some people take a long time to get there. But I want people with heart. I want people with a tribal mentality. I can teach them how to play. So, you know, growth. As long as they're growing, and you know, growth isn't consistent. You know, you'll learn something 1 week, and then you'll flatline for a week. Then all of a sudden, you know, you explode with a whole bunch of knowledge. And then, but the thing is that if you're always got the mentality that I'm growing towards something, you'll always learn, you'll always continue to accelerate. But the thing is, it's contextual, because a tribe will do all the things they need to when they understand that it's their heart for God that's the motivator. When someone is learning their instrument And they're seeing it as this is an expression of thankfulness, of praise to God. And I can use this to bless someone else, to increase in someone else, to be the strength in someone else's weakness within a tribal or in a band. That's going to help and encourage others as well. It motivates people to grow further as well because it's beyond themselves. You don't do it just for yourself. You do it because it's an expression of the other two relationships.
Mm.
I think if you want to dig a little deeper, Colossians 3, for me, it really outlines this extremely well. Paul starts, first of all, with, you know, setting your minds on Christ, what is above. And then he, you know, really establishes God first. And then he goes through the relationship with others. How is that expressed? And he finishes, finally, whatever you do, word and deed, you know, do it for the glory of God. Really establishes the craft as well, that it's everything and anything. So that's what I've been working on with developing and working on culture for my teams. And it's not easy because you have to also live it yourself, and that's always the constant battle. But I'm growing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Growth is
so gone. So it's safe to say you've thought about it.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
I love that. Oh, my goodness. This is the first time I've heard it. I know, Dan, you've heard it, but this is the first time I've heard it, and it just resonates with me so much. And I think I've had kind of similar thoughts over the years, but that articulates it so well. And I think probably two things stood out to me so much is that field image of like, we're already worshippers, but we feel like we need to put this construct around. I'm like, I love that. And also the priority of like, when God isn't first, then it all gets mixed up. But when you seek first the kingdom, it all flows from that. And I think that's really good. And we need to keep working to make sure that's number one, because we as humans so easily get distracted and can let it slip. But when that's number one, then everything is an overflow of that love, of that relationship. It all flows from there. Oh, I love it.
Cool.
I love the application outside of church, like as in it's just the same everywhere. You're talking about as a professional musician, having your ducks in order, I'll say, you know, having the right order.
Yeah.
Like actually makes more of an impact in those spaces too, which of course it does. Like,
yeah.
Everything you're saying, I'm sitting here going, of course. Like, but why haven't I thought of articulating it like that? It's exactly what Shush was saying. And I love the practical application in every single area of your life. Like this isn't just when you come on Sunday for worship team. This is like this is every day.
Yeah,
this
that's
is
right.
Everything you do.
Yeah, the Sunday is one part of the expression of a worshiping heart. It's that opportunity where it's a continual flow from what was happening and what will happen afterwards. So
also, I will
so
comment,
good.
I love the tribe versus team
yes,
thing too.
I was going to really comment on that too.
I really liked it.
When
you're saying like, you know, you're part of a team this week and then the next week you're kind of not, like I immediately thought, it's like in sport, like you make the team one week, you might be dropped the next. Like you're not a part of it all the time. Like, and again, that's the essence of that is basically speaking to the body of Christ, right? Like you're saying,
100%.
Like everyone's bringing their own part. Yeah. And
we're brothers and sisters in Christ, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Tribe. It's yeah.
I think that was amazing. I'm blown away by it, to be honest. Even though I've heard most of it before, I hadn't heard the team tribe thing.
Ah, cool. Yeah. Well, I have a card. Like I said, I gave to all of our campus team. I just said the word tribes. But something on the flip side, it's who I'm praying for. It's something that that we're active on as well. That is, I wish I brought it. I have a blank and I just write a name of a creative arts member on there, and then we shuffle them up and give them all out. And I'm actively praying for this person to, and there's three as well. One is to, that's why I write things down, to pray, to encourage them, to cheerlead them, and to something else as well. One is that you're praying, you know, in your prayer time privately. Another one is where you brag about them to someone else. And then the last one is you encourage them directly.
I love that. The brag to someone else.
I love that.
I really like.
Yeah. So the idea is that every turnover, every term, this year has been a bit difficult meeting together, but generally I redo the cards and give them out, and then they get a new person to pray for. And again, they're praying for them in private. They seek someone else out to talk them up, to brag about them and say how much they loved what that person's been contributing. And finally, they got to have that direct connection where they say, I loved how you and what you did, and you know, and they vocalize it to the person directly.
Mm.
So praying for others is important.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
That culture, so coming from like a worship perspective, right, like if you're leading a team, like you're laying down absolute gems for culture building. Like that is...
Yeah.
Like I think we always, like speaking life to people is such a thing, right? Like, but... The essence of speaking life about someone to someone else.
Yeah.
That blows my mind a little bit. I think if, like, have you seen fruit of that? How long, like, have you seen a lot of, like, can you give an awesome example of some fruit you've seen of that? Because there has to be.
Well, it goes a bit, well, there's a bit more still. But
of course there is.
But wait, there's more.
Well, no, some of the things that I remember when I first started doing stuff in church, there was always the complaint of people coming late. There was people who, you know, didn't clean up their mess after them, after themselves, or didn't put leads and stuff away. So what that did is it eliminated most of that without anyone having to say anything, because the heart was to, you know, to keep the place tidy, to you know, be on the ball, to practice. All of these things are a byproduct of having a heart for wanting to glorify God. But then I took it another step further again. When we meet together, we do a devotion first. Every practice is a devotion. And I normally roster on someone from the team who, you know, could be any of the musicians. So they start feeling the weight of why they're there, and they present a small devotion to the team. But the first thing is to establish God first and why we're here. The second thing is I ask the song leader always to present the vision for why they chose the songs. So they talk about why they chose them. Sometimes it's as much as they just flowed, or this is where I was going. Often, though, it's connected to scripture, and they justify the song choices. And then, of course, you've got the third thing where we pray before we play. The idea of eliminating the I don't like this song, why am I playing this song? The idea of why am I here? Why is this taking so long? You know, all of those sort of musician type bugbears that happen when you're doing stuff, when you're disassociated from why you're doing something, gets eliminated too. So we don't get the complaints of, I don't like this song, because they already know why the song's there, why we're playing it. And they're also all together community-wise. They're all working together to realize the vision for what the song leader chose the songs for.
Personal preference is just taken out of the room.
Yeah, well, it's no, you know, it's all about then how do I make this a reality? How do I make this vision a reality? How do I make, so musicians are stepping forward, contributing more to making, you know, something beautiful for God, and they've got context.
I love the way this takes this kind of conceptual and like all this kind of visionary stuff, but also meets it really with this practical hand as well. Like it's not all just like seek God first and, you know, community and craft, which is great and important. But then we have like this real life application of being like, and here's how you do it, you know, or like some examples of that. I love that. It's hand in hand. It's good. It's good. Faith and works, both.
And you touched on like the spiritual disciplines as well. Like, like I feel like maybe sometimes that's not forgotten about, just maybe not spoken about. It'd be easy for you to come in here and say, I had this vision. It was this field, looked like Windows 95. And then that's it, right? Yeah. You've actually been able to articulate it in a way that people can practically put it into place. And that's ridiculously good.
Gold.
Yeah. And well, then what happens too, it's just a byproduct. You think, well, I want to be a better musician. So you're thinking and it starts heading towards, well, maybe I need to pray, read my Bible, focus my attention on God more so that they will be elevated. And it happens. You get greater clarity, greater patience, greater perseverance to do all of these things because your focus is on God, not on the element you're trying to increase.
Yes.
Yeah, if shush clicks, that's a good thing.
I'm clicking.
She's excited.
All right, we should probably wrap this podcast up.
We should.
Before we do, we want to spend some time just honouring you, Derek. Like, I have loved hearing from you today and everything you shared, so thank you, number one, for that. But I want to thank you for your heart for Jesus. It is clear the love you have for him and the way you have received his love and grace and salvation. I want to honour you for the way that you follow him with a passion every day and the way that you lead others to do that as well. The way you've opened to his voice, hearing his voice and visions for you and everything, and the way you share that with others. It has been a real blessing to me today, and I'm sure it has been a blessing to others and will be blessings to people in the future as they listen to this podcast and everything else. So yeah, it's good. I want to bless you in Jesus' name, and yeah, it's good.
Thank you.
Dan?
Cool.
Yeah, I guess, like, we have a friendship anyway, but like, it's inspirational to hear you speak. Like,
yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind that that's God speaking through you. So it's not that you've just come up with an idea and you're not practicing it. Like, it's obvious that that's the root of who you are. And I completely honor that. I think that's amazing. Authenticity is there. Like, yeah. And that's the thing I care about most, is authentic leadership. And that is what you're doing.
I think it's
amazing. So it definitely inspired me from a worship arts perspective more than anything has in a while. It was great. So
good. Thank you. Well, thanks for having me.
Should we all just hug now? I feel like we all need to, like, we can't because Shush is on Zoom.
Yeah. I'm on Zoom.
Yeah. Oh, do you know what? Would you ever come on this again?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
We'll dive in at some point in the near future, but that was amazing. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Have you got anything else to add, Shush?
Nah.
I think we're good.
I think we're good.
No, thank you very much.
Thanks, team.
Done.
We'll see you later.
See you soon.
See you later.
Very good. And behold, it was very good. It was very good. It was very good. It was very good. And behold.